2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul writing to his protege Timothy says, hold fast the form of sound words or salvation words which thou hast heard of me. Notice Paul don't ask him to do something that he hadn't done. Notice how you hold it in faith and love. Faith is a creator. Love is a motivator. Don't ever opposite them. Don't put the love in front of the faith. Faith worketh by love, but faith is a law. Love is a motive. You got to understand that and keep that in line the way it's supposed to be, and it'll effectually work for you. How do you do this? In faith and love, which is in the anointed and his anointing. That's what it means when you see the name Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. That good thing, we talked about this yesterday, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Notice Paul called it a good thing to hold fast to the form of sound words in faith and in love. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of truth which dwelleth in us. He didn't say just what dwelleth in you, but what dwelleth in us. So notice all this is done through the Holy Spirit and his power. A man asked me, but Jesse, how do you have so much joy in your life? It's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's not a sad person. I used to think he was. I used to think God was sad. But then I thought Jesus was really kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, seemed like, you know, I've seen a lot of super religious people and they were kind of boring. Then I thought Jesus wasn't like that. He wasn't a religious man in that sense. He's the Messiah. And he had a wonderful sense of humor. I could tell by the people he called to work for him. You think about it for a minute. If you ever do a study on his disciples and their character, you wouldn't hire any of them. Well, you'd hire one of them. His name was Nathaniel. You would hire him. I would call him a district man. Jesus looked at him and said, there's no guile in you. Praise God. But you know, you would have figured he'd name Nathaniel as head of the group. But he didn't. He named Peter, impetuous, slap you, stomp you, cuss you, pray for you. And if that wouldn't work, he'd cut you. Ignorant and unlearned men. I call them Jewish Cajuns. If you think about these guys, I mean, it was amazing. The beloved Apostle John, he wasn't beloved at one time. He was called Son of Thunder. Told Jesus, get out the way. I'm going to call fire out from heaven. Burn everybody. Boy was Pentecostal, wasn't he? I've seen a lot of Pentecostals. All they think about is fire, but not the Holy Ghost. Fire to burn somebody. You've been to that church, I could tell. Praise God. So, you know, I wouldn't have picked those type of people, but Jesus did. And he told Timothy, hold fast to the form of sound words. Today, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Let's go left in the Bible, like Brother Copeland says. Just go left. Glory to God. Today, I want to deal with a carnality. Have you had one today? You can always tell when people don't hold fast to the form of sound words, fits take place. Fits of carnality. Look at people. Yeah. We came in here Sunday and they were having some kind of, I don't know what, on the streets of Fort Worth. I got here, what, 3 o'clock, 3:30, something like that. And I heard that same song till about 11 something. I prayed for God to break the fingers. I had a fit. You know, if it had been a different song, it would have been all right. But my Lord, after a while, I was trying to sleep and my toes were la cucaracha, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, booming through that window. It's hard to be spiritual. Every time you close your eyes, you see singing tamales. God. I thought, what is going on? And it kept going on. I believe Brother Lynn told me that it's been going on since Friday. He'd been here 3 days. I mean, I was at the point of a fit, a carnality. And the Lord said, why don't you pray for them? I said, why didn't I think of that? So I said, Jesus, shut them up. I got to preach in the morning. And he said, okay. And the music quit. And I thought, why didn't I say that at 4:00 in the afternoon? They just shut down. You know, prayer changed things. But most of the time, we always wait too late to pray. Romans 8, you there yet? Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. This is what happens when you don't hold fast to the form of sound words. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, you can have life with no peace. But the Bible said to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. In other words, this mind is in total enmity against God, because this flesh be not conformed, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. A transformation needs to take place. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, or cannot, for lack of a better word, please faith God. For it is impossible to please God without faith. So when you get into the realm of carnality, you get out of the realm of faith, you get out of the realm of pleasing God into the realm of carnality, or in the realm of flesh, and you can't please him at all at any given time. Now let me read that again, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. And some of your fits of carnality has almost cost you your life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please or faith God. A fit, a carnality. Now this is a very simple message. But this is what happens to people that does not hold fast to the form of sound words. They begin to speak what I call no words, which brings death and life. Some words, I mean, my God, it's nothing but enmity. I've had many fits of carnality. Let me say it again. Have you had one today? Did you get up and you're a little tired and your kids have been screaming and hollering and you're trying to get to the convention and my God, one thing after another. And you know you ought to pray, but you just don't feel like it. And I'll forget one time going to an airport. I was late and I said, let me drive because you drive too slow. That was a lie because she drives fast and I do. But I said, I'm going to make sure I'm going to get to this airport. And my daughter then, who was about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, was in the back seat. And man, I am taking it down the road. And you know, every time you're in a hurry, there's some grandma getting her car to get on the road. Or some old man who can't hear nothing. You can blow a Mack truck horn in the back of it, blow his trunk open. He just looking around. He don't care. And I took off because I was going to a spiritual meeting. But I was about ready to encounter a carnality. Well, you know, we're in a hurry. Everybody gets on the road that's not in a hurry. And this grandma just come flying out on the road at a fast rate of 60 miles an hour and slowed down to 35. Have you ever been there? Do you know that old woman? Yeah. So I'm trying to get around her. But she thinks both lanes belong to her. I go to the left, she go to the left. I go to the right, she go to the right. I felt Tabasco sauce coming up my legs. I was praying like this. God, do something with this woman. And I begin to talk to her. Hey, old woman, if you can't drive the car, park it. But then I realize she can't hear nothing. Her bun on the back of her head's a radio antenna, man. She's listening to something she don't know. So I said, I'm going to get my gun. But every time, you know, if she wanted to see something, she'd do this and the car would go that way. And she'd look like that. Now, I'm not exaggerating. I thought, and I'm looking at Kathy and I said, what's the matter with the woman? Kathy just looking at me like, I'm not getting involved in this carnality. Because she didn't say that. She's just looking at me. And I'm saying, I'm trying to get to a meeting. To be carnally minded is death. Finally, I said, brother, if she just goes to the right a half inch, I'm going to hit this thing. I'm going to put my foot in the carburetor, slam to the left. And I don't care if I hit the grass. I don't care if I go in a meeting. I'm going to pass that old woman. So I'm waiting. All of a sudden, I look and her muffler falls off her car. It just fell off. I see it. I try to swerve. I don't. I hit that muffler and cuts my tires. I hear bum, 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 bum. I had a carnality. I looked at an old woman. She didn't stop. She didn't know what happened. I became carnally minded, but out of the mouths of babes come great revelation. I said, yo, woman, if I could catch you. And my daughter said, you tell her that Jesus love her, huh, daddy? I had a fed a corner. And Kathy looked at me like this. I said, go away from me, holy one. I had to buy two tires. And I don't doubt that woman is driving somewhere right now. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I could have prayed this. Lord, I'm kind of in a hurry. Would you mind moving that little lady over to the side? But it seemed like it was much easier if I'd holler through the glass. See, I didn't hold fast to the former sound words. All that time that my blood began to boil, so to say, I could hear this Holy Ghost saying, watch it, watch it. You're going over into the death side. Watch it. But you know, you can hear the Holy Spirit. He quickens you. He lets you know. But you go, no, 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 no. I deserve, no, 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 no. I am under pressure here. I have to release. I don't want to have a heart attack here. I can tell this is hitting everybody in the face. Everybody's going, a fit, a carnality. Have you had one today? Don't lie, you're in church. Have you been carnally minded instead of spiritually minded? Well, Brother Jesse, Romans 8:14 tells you exactly what to do when these things come upon you. For as many are led by the Spirit of God. If you're having fits of carnality, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by a spirit, but it isn't the right spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Have sometimes you wanted not to be adopted for just a few minutes? If you could just take your salvation hat or take it off for just a minute. Or if you could go get your old man when people least expect it. You know, most Christians never bury the old man. They carry him around in a coffin like Dracula did his body. Because, you know, they're spiritual. Glory to God. But when somebody makes them mad, they go, ha ha, you want trouble? Excuse me a minute. I wanted you to meet somebody. Hang on a second. You go over to that old man and say, come out. I said, come out. And that old man go, and you tell that old man, bite him and hurry, bite him because the pastor's coming. Bite him and then get back in that coffin. Hurry. Then you realize the pastor's pulling a case that looks just like yours. And has a sign on it that says, for deacons. No. Praise God. Carnal mindedness. Not being led by the Spirit of God. You ever got mad waiting to get prayed for? I want Brother Copeland lay hands on me. I want Sister Cole. I want Jerrysville lay hands on me. He don't even know where his neighbor is. He telling everybody, look at his neighbor. Ain't nothing wrong with my navel. I got something wrong with my head. I don't want that Jesse who plans to pray for me. He talked too loud. Spit a little bit when he does, too. I want Sister Glory to do it. You know how Sister Glory just does this. Brother Copeland, mess your hair up. I seen some of y'all duck his hand. Y'all went, and he hit your shoulder. Don't want to break that net. Leave that net up there. To be carnally minded is death. I've seen people lose it right in the middle of a prayer line. When it was coming to get healed, when they should be walking in the Spirit, for as many are led by the Spirit, they couldn't have got there unless they'd have been led by the Spirit. Right in the middle of being led by the Spirit, bless God, they have a fit of carnality. Oh, you want to talk to somebody and the usher grabs you. No, you can't do that. What? What? Yeah, but I just want to say one thing. No, you can't do that. And you look at it, and he's a little usher. So, let's just praise God together. Oh, excuse me. What happened? You had a fit. A fit, a carnality. Fit. Have you had one today? That happens when people are not holding fast to the form of sound words. I'm keeping nailing this one point into your mind. Because you will never forget this sermon. Your wife will never let you forget it, sir. The minute you go to get mad, fit, fit, and vice versa. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, I'm going to tell you a few fits of carnality I've had in my life. Being saved, full of the Holy Ghost, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You see, ladies and gentlemen, before I was saved, I made a lot of money. I was a rock entertainer, you know, boom, down, boom, down, boom, 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 woo, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I made some major money. But when I got saved, I thought it was just normal to be poor. And I thought, well, you know, you can't have things. You got to be humble. Well, yes, you have to be humble, but not stupid. But I didn't know. And the Lord, I honestly believe the Lord wanted me to buy this home. So I bought this 910-foot square house. And I shouldn't have bought it. Because I remember when I walked through it and I put my hand on the door and I remember that, Kathy, about 35 roaches came out. What on my hand? I went, my God. I opened up, they were Roach City, USA. And I thought, oh man, there must have been some dirty people living in this place. You could see those roaches going, hey, food. So boy, for 2 weeks before I moved, I sprayed that house every day. Walls, I mean the floors, because there's no furniture in it, nothing I got. And then roaches died, but seemed like by the millions. Got them all out. It was a house on piers. Now in South Louisiana, you don't get cold. It may freeze, but not very often. So and the man told me that I bought the house from, he said, you might want to insulate those pipes. I said, insulate the pipe. Now, I am not a mechanical person. I don't fix things. Kathy is the fixer of all things. Something wrong with my Harley? I send it to Kathy. Kathy fix that Harley. Make her no devil's blessed. Because she likes getting into that stuff. I like watching her. She does a good job on that stuff. Anyway, a cold snap came in. They said, run the water. Well, we forgot to run the water. This was the first home I'd ever owned in my life. Well, the next morning we got up, turned on the water. Nothing. And I called my dad. He said, your pipe froze, boy. He said, but they may not have busted. I said, well, what is this sound? Under my house. He said, they busted. I said, Dad, can you come help me? No, I can't do it today, son. I said, Dad, I've never fixed the joint. I don't know how to do that. He said, well, just heal up the crack. Go get a joint of pipe. Find out what's busted. Cut the water off. I said, where at? He said, usually it's in the front of your house by the street, the main. He said, sometimes they got valves. And you don't have to go to the main valve. They may have a valve somewhere in your house. You cut that off and then you can fix it. I said, that is 30 degrees. He said, welcome to the world. I said, Dad, I'm going to have to crawl underneath that house. There's water and mud underneath it. You'd be surprised what was under there. So I put on my coveralls. I look and there's a lake of water. I said, I'm going to have to drag my body in that water and mud. And it's 30 degrees. I said, Kathy, she said, you're the man of the house. So I looked and I saw this valve. So I cut the valve off. I thought, that's that valve Dad was talking about. I looked in there and sure enough, man, it was a split. And when I cut, the water came off. So I said, great. I went to the store, bought the wrong size kind of pipe. Had the wrong kind. Got back and I'm full of mud. And you're laying in that mud and it's cold. I mean cold and it's aggravating. And I don't know how broke glass gets under your house. Everything get under your house. So I'm dragging myself underneath there, pull it, and I'm cutting myself. Boy, and I'm going, ah. And there's spiders everywhere going, hi, hello. I'm going, ah. And you got to work like this. I need some help. I got to break this joint of pipe out. I need a backup. So I said, Kathy, what? I said, I need some help. She said, oh, I can't climb underneath that house. There's spiders under there. I said, I felt like there was 47 million roaches in it when we bought it. They just moved downstairs. She said, I can't do that. That made me mad. I said, I need some help. She said, yeah, I can't crawl underneath that house. I said, why not? She said, it's dirty. I said, so? I can't do that. But I'll help you. How? So I said, all right. So I'm trying to back this piece of pipe out. And I'm getting mad. I'm busting my knuckles. It's cold. Blood's hurting. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I even reverted to my Catholic days. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. My God. And I'm a preacher now, you know. But more, I'm getting madder because I can't get the pipe in it working. Finally, I say, which line? Is this the cold line or the hot line? And I looked. And then I ain't stupid. I said, okay, that's where the hot water is. Okay, that's the cold. I said, now, Kathy, there's a... There's a knob, the two knobs, one on the left, one on the right. Now I'm hollering this through the floor of the, I'm underneath the layer. I said, don't touch the left knob. That's the hot water. Okay. I said, turn on the right knob. Why? Well, cause the cold line's fixed. I can cut it off, but the hot line's busted and open now. She said, okay. And she turned on the left knob. Whew! Hot water. I'm scalding. I die. Turn it off. Turn it off. What? Turn it off. I am being burnt. I am so mad. I had a fit. A carnality. The Lord said, Jesse, control yourself. I said, you're not laying on your back in this mud with a crazy woman with a hot water trying to kill me. I said, Kelly. Finally, she said, oh, I'm sorry. I turned the wrong one. I'm sitting in water. I'm serious. It's up to here. I'm burnt. There's spiders looking at me. I'm cut on the back. I said, Kelly, come here. She comes out and I see her little head looking in. She says, Jesse, don't move. I'm thinking, God, there's a snake here. What's the problem? Don't move. I could hardly move anyway. And all the while I was under, I kept smelling something terrible. She said, don't move. There's a dead cat by your head. I lean, and there's a cat with his brains hanging out right there. I go, oh, man. I said, grab it. She said, I don't touch dead cats. I am not exaggerating. I said, woman, when I get out from this house, I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to go to your mama's house and kill her too. I'm going to kill everybody that has the name of Kyrie. You understand me? I was so mad. I said, Daddy, grab that cat. I am not touching that. She's arguing. I am not touching that cat. I pushed that cat. And I start, all of a sudden I go, something sticks me in the back. I go, God, what is this? I pull out this thorn. I said, what is this? She said, oh, I threw some cactus underneath the house. Cactus. A dead cat with brains hanging out. I'm scalded with water. I had a fit. I called out. I said, I don't care. I come crawling out that house, glass cut and thorns, guts and everything. I got a dead cat in one hand and I wrenched and I'm going to beat my wife with in the next hand. I come flying out that house. Thank God. My next door neighbor said, how you doing, preacher? I went. He looked at that. He said, you know, I wouldn't touch that dead cat if I was you. He said, what's your problem? Now, I had been witnessing to this man. I said, he said, go ahead, cuss if you want to. I won't tell nobody. Go on. His name was Mr. Easton. That was his name. Every time you have a fit of carnality, you can take it to the bank. There's going to be somebody seeing you do it. He looked at me. He said, your wife won't help you, huh? I said, how'd you know that? He said, well, I busted a pipe earlier this morning. I tried to get my wife to help. She wouldn't do it neither. He said, you want me to give you a hand? I said, both of them. Finally got that thing fixed. But it's amazing. I'm about ready to lose it. And here's a man that I'm witnessing to. Here's a man that I'm telling, my God, Jesus is the greatest thing in the world. My God, give it to Jesus. He can handle anything. Except a broke pipe and a dead cat and a disobedient woman. I had a fit of carnality. Don't laugh at me. Have you had one today? There's some days you look at your husband and say, I just love you. Oh, man, I can't live without you. Then there's some days you go, why don't you go somewhere? To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. How do I stop myself from fits of carnality? Well, number one, hold fast to the form of sound words. We know that. But in holding fast, there's something you must do to the words that you're speaking. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Y'all enjoying this? You're thinking about all those fits you had, huh? James chapter 4, verse 7 is a very simple verse. Now notice what Paul told Timothy, hold fast to the form of sound words. But you must do something or acknowledge what the sound words can do for you. James 4, verse 7, the very first word, submit. Submit to what you believe. Submit to what you speak. Submit yourself. Now, before I read the rest of the verse, submit yourself to what? To the words that you're speaking by holding fast to that form. In faith and in love. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Now, that's the very first thing you need to do before you ever talk to the devil. Before the devil's ever mentioned, before the fit of carnality is ever acknowledged, submit, therefore, to God. Or submit, therefore, to God in that sound word. Remember, sound words are salvation words. Now, before you get to the point of saying, I rebuke you, devil, you have got to submit yourself to what you believe. If you don't submit to what you believe, you'll have a fit of carnality every day of your life. And you're not the only one. Elijah did the same thing. I mean, Elijah was a powerful man of God until a woman got on his case. And her name was Jezebel, or Jezebel, however you want to call it. And she said, you tell Elijah, but by tomorrow he'll be just like the prophets he killed. I'll kill him. And the Bible said he took off a run and he had a fit of carnality. Fit. Whoa, woman mad. I'm out of here. Ran. My God. Ran. Why? Because he didn't submit to the words that he was speaking himself. He thought that she was more powerful. But the Bible said he did submit, and he came back and put his finger in that woman's face and said, the dog's going to eat your flesh and lick your blood. Submit yourself, therefore, to God to stop anger, fits. We're always looking on how to, you know, we deal more with the anger than we deal with the submitting. Every time I've ever made a mistake, I knew I was going to do it before I did it. You can feel when you're going to get mad. You know what's happening. And people do irritate you. Don't misunderstand. I mean, everybody gets irritated. But not everybody ought to be having fits of carnality. Have you had one today? I want to know. Have you had one today? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Now, the only way you submit yourself, therefore, to God is to know what God said. If you know what God said, then you should be repeating what God said. Now, I'm not saying this life is easy, but I'm saying it can be peaceful if you walk in the Spirit. Now, people say you can't walk in the Spirit all the time. Yes, you can. For many as are led by the Spirit, what does it say? They are the sons of God. In other words, God reminds you that you are of His nature. He says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. It says, resist the devil. But most people think it says, assist the devil. It says resist. It don't say assist. Have you ever had some people in your church you want them to leave? So you assist them. Look, you ain't worshiping here. You ain't working. Why don't you just get out of here? Now, what happens if the rapture takes place and God places those people next door to you for eternity? Old sister so-and-so. Old big old blabbermouth sister so-and-so with a tongue as long as the altar. You know, God's mercy and grace is sufficient. It's amazing the people that God's going to bring to heaven. There are going to be people walking around heaven and going to see people go, my God, I didn't think you was going to be here. How did you get here? Same way you did. Grace. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to what God says. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Because if you always speak soundly, fits will never take place. They usually start off as aggravations. Then they turn into full-blown fits. Now, I've had a bunch. And I'm not confessing it. I'm just letting you know that I'm just like you are. I don't know of any person that's not walking in this life that's alive. There's things that happen that really aggravate you. But Jesus said, if we submit ourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. Didn't say assist him. Resist him. He will flee from you. How many of y'all would love to see the devil turn tail and run? Oh, yes. He will flee from you. It's wonderful to see the devil running away from you instead of running toward you. Fits of carnality. Peter was known for his fits. Jesus trying to help somebody. Peter pulls out a knife, cuts the guy's ear off. Just rips it off. Sitting there, say, come on, Zach. He's got to pick the guy's ear up, stick it back on his head. What's the matter with you, Peter? And I know what he's thinking. I'm trying to help you out. It's the way I was raised. I blame my temper and my Cajun heritage for many years. Finally, the Lord said, devil, Jesse, it's just you assisting the devil. And I've had Catholics tell me this many times. You need to learn. And I don't know why God uses your wife all the time. Because, see, she can bring you to the highest ecstasy of happiness. Yet, because she knows you, she can make you so mad. So angry because she's so right. The bad part is because she's right. And you know, she'd just say, but she's going to let you know for 3 or 4 days. I told you so. But no, no, no. You wouldn't listen to me. No, no, no. And here's the wonderful statement they use. I'm just trying to help you out. Did I ask you for help? I'm just want to help you out. I'm trying to help you. Do I need help? Don't answer that. I'm just trying to help you out. I think that's probably one of my biggest statements. I said, Kathy, if I want your help, I will ask for it. She said, you don't have enough sense to ask for it. I'm moved by the Spirit here to help you. I said, what kind of spirit, woman? She said, the right spirit. I'm not the one mad. You are. You're in a wrong spirit. I rebuke you, devil. You calling me a devil? Boy, I mean, it begins to build. Well, that's what Jesus did, Peter. Satan, get behind me. You got to understand something about Peter. The Bible said that Peter took Jesus. You ever do a study on the word took? I mean, Jesus wanted to talk to Peter. He really liked the guy. He said, Peter, come here, I'll tell you something. I'm going to Jerusalem. Yeah, I know where we're going. They're going to take me and kill me, Peter. Now, that made Peter mad. The Bible said he took Jesus. If you do a study, he manhandled Jesus. He grabbed Jesus, the anointed, the Messiah. I'm talking to you. He went, what's the matter with you? He grabbed, manhandled Jesus. I mean, he's shaking Jehovah. I want you to get the picture here. Jesus looked at him. Jesus could have went, beep, and he's gone. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. He knew he wasn't Peter. Peter was having a carnality. What would you do? I don't doubt some of y'all got mad when Brother Copeland said, bless God, I ain't going to go down there at the end of that church and let you wag my arm off, shake my arm. I knew it. I know I'm a preacher. I could tell, but I could see it. I seen some people go, I mean, them feathers flew up like one of them fighting cocks, you know, one of them birds. A person can't do something if they're not called to do it. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Now, there's some people, and Brother Copeland loves people. My God, he prays for you, partners. Prays for you. I mean, I know the man. He loves people. He's a blessing to be with. He's a lot of fun to be with. I mean, he's a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, people expect, they expect you to do what they think you should do. They hadn't prayed and asked God. They haven't submitted themselves. First, they don't know the difference between an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. You know, and there's a vast difference. Vast difference in all those ministry gifts. Yet every one of them's had fits of carnality. The Apostle Paul had a fit of carnality over John Mark because he didn't think the bar was working hard enough. So, man, I mean, things got hot. They're trying to kill you. I mean, stick stones are flying. I'm talking people want to kill you, man. And John Mark said, hey, I'm out of here, man. I mean, that made Paul mad. He got hot about it. He said, he's a slacker. He's a slacker. Get him out of my face. Give me somebody like Silas. Silas, can you sing when your back's bleeding? Oh, yeah, praise him. Praise him. Silas could sing. He could handle that. John Mark said, oh, I'm out of here. But in years later, that fit of carnality had to be eaten by the Apostle Paul. God recorded it for us. And he said, bring John Mark to me. Because he's profitable to my ministry. Profitable to my ministry. See. Now why did Paul make that mistake? Submit yourself therefore to God. God calls some people in the ministry or to help you that you don't want God to call. Because you look at their character or you look at their qualification and say, this is not working. I have a friend of mine, an employee of mine. I guess he's my oldest, one of my oldest employees. Been with me almost 11 years. And I never forget when I hired this man, his pastor said, come here. Now, God spoke to me. I saw him. The Lord said, I want you to hire this man. I said, okay. And he looked real nice. He said, I want you to train him. I didn't know what that meant. But the pastor said, come here, don't hire this boy. This boy's a space cadet. I mean, he's in the clouds, man. Ain't no telling what he'll do. Yet, I heard God say, hire him. And I heard his pastor say, don't hire this guy. He's an idiot. I don't, you know, I didn't want me to hire it. Well, he wasn't, not that he was an idiot. What? He was not suited for that man's work. He was suited for my work. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Don't have a fit of carnality on me here. My work is evangelism. I needed it. Hang on, let me finish here, bless God. All of y'all trying to catch me because you're under conviction. Every one of you, I know y'all. I bring him into my ministry. Boy, did I know what I got. Yet, I tell you, one of the most faithful and giving persons in my ministry today is a blessing. In fact, he just got promoted not long ago. Blessing to God. But he exercised my patience quite a bit. In fact, one time he... I have these wireless microphones on. Well, I'll just say his name. He don't mind because he's heard me say this. I said, Fritz, make sure I got a new battery in this wireless mic. Okay, boss. I'll make sure I got a new battery. Now, I got to watch him because he'll rip my pocket. Whoa, let me get it out by myself, Fritz, okay? Now, this is years ago. Not now. Man, he is a servant of God today. But boy, when I first saw him, he was wild. But he had zeal and he was clean. He was pure and holy. And I said, that's what I need. So he takes my thing out, puts me in. I said, here's the old battery. He takes the old battery, puts it in his pocket. Right? And this is an old copper battery. Watch this. He goes pick up the associate pastor. Now, I'm preaching in a church that don't believe much in faith. I'm known as a guy that, you know, he's got a faith edge to him. We don't believe in this confession and all these gifts of the spirit stuff and, you know. So I thought, let's don't cause no ruckus. Let's just shock him once the pulpit belongs to me. So I told Fritz, just act, you know, I mean, my God, this is a very, bringing in the sheep. I mean, they're not leading choirs like this, brother, you know. Come on. You know how the choir does. They do a good job, man. Boy, them arms go out like that. And he turns around. And all the white people going. And all the black people going. Yeah. This is a very low-key, tight church. Fritz picks up the associate. Fritz has pennies in his pocket. The battery makes a connection to the pennies. It's copper. Fritz's legs start burning. He thinks it's the gifts of the Spirit. Because I told him, if you work with me, we're going to move with the power of the Holy Ghost. You understand me? Be very sensitive and aware when God is moving. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Don't get in the flesh. I mean, I told that boy that. I said, we want sick people healed. We want lost people saved. He goes, okay, boss. So he thinks God's telling him there's something wrong with this guy's leg. I am telling you. So he's driving. Now this copper, that copper and that penny on that bag getting hotter. And Fred's going. So he tells this. He says, excuse me, sir. Do you have a burning in your leg? The associate says, what? I sense God. Do you have a burning in your leg? And all of a sudden it got hot. Fritz hits the brakes like the through the guy through the window. Jumps out the car. Pulls that battery out. Kind of singed his leg. Gets back in. Sosa's looking at him. He said, I thought God was telling me you had something wrong with your leg there, but it is a battery. I am not kidding. Drops the guy off. The guy comes pick me up at the hotel. I don't know anything. I walk in. He goes, that boy that you hired. I said, I tell you what, man, he's just like me. Man, them people were leery of us. What are you saying all that for? You have to be led by the Spirit instead of being led by a copper battery. Know the difference. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Now, he was a baby Christian. I was a baby evangelist. Both of us had our pampers on going to preach a meeting. Had no shirts on, but we could find everybody's navel. We were all babes in Christ. You know, most babies have a diaper on and no shirt. They just walk around, bless God. Well, God had to give us time to grow. How did we grow? We submitted ourselves, therefore, to God. We resisted the devil instead of assisting him and found Satan beginning to flee from us. And fits of carnality began to become less and less. But if you think in your finite mind that you're going to get this flesh to become holy, you have missed it 100 miles. There's no good thing in the flesh. This is a corruptible vessel. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You have got to strengthen your spirit by holding fast to the form of sound words to a degree that it overcomes. It doesn't conform, but transforms you, that spirit, into such a mighty dynamo that it is, that it is totally regenerating the thought process of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion. And then from that mind, will, and emotion, soul, comes a cross that crucifies your flesh on a daily basis. Because if Jesus came right now, none of you could go to heaven in the body you're in. It has got to be changed. That's why God says it has to be changed. But some people think this is a statement, by living holy. But their holiness is not a positive holiness. Their holiness is a negative holiness. They're trying to clean this body up to make it look holy when it is corruptible. And what happens is, fits of carnality always come out of corruptible things. We had just got saved. Kathy was saved before I was. And she went through great stress. But by holding fast to that form, I came to the knowledge of Christ. They found out I could play piano. Now you got to understand, I didn't like gospel music. And it wasn't the kind of music it is today. Anything with a beat was almost, my God, unheard of and heathen in that sense. And this was the 70s, early 70s. But Kathy always had a love for God. She's kind of like Sister Gloria has a love for taste, want to hear the word of God. Kathy was always reading the Bible. I mean, my God, always wanting to go to church. Always wanting to be, what's God doing? Let's just go do this. And me, I love the Lord, but because I had no training, I had religious training, I always thought of it in terms of religion. She said, let's do this and let's do that. Well, Kathy was more sensitive to the Spirit of God than I was, because I had to unlearn some religious things, which is very hard to do when they've been planted in you from a baby. You understand what I mean? It's not easy. Well, we had a revival in this church. So the pastor of the church comes up to me on the Wednesday night, which was the last night of the revival. And he says, Brother Jesse, if you don't mind, our piano player didn't come. When the altar call is given tonight, would you mind coming up and playing during the altar call service? I said, well, brother, I don't know them altar call songs. He said, well, play stuff like Just As I Am Without One Plea. I said, well, that's a Billy Graham song. Yeah, I said, I'm going to play it by ear. I've never played that before, but I got a pretty good ear of music. I pick it up. He said, and just things like it. Do you know the old Rugged Cross? I said, well, yeah, I don't say I know it, but I think I can play. Well, just play lightly and softly as the evangelist moves in the power of God, So I said, okay. So he said, everybody bow your head and close your eyes. So I bowed my head and closed my eyes. Okay, I heard the pastor going. Finally, I looked at me and went, oh, I said, oh yeah, okay. So I forgot, I've always very respectful of the Spirit of God, of the move of God. So I got there and I got behind the got behind the piano, put my foot on the soft pedal of the piano. It's three pedals, you know. One, two, three of them, you know. Put my foot on the soft pedal, then put my foot on the sustain pedal. And I thought, what am I going to play? Just as I am with that one. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. I said, I'll make it melodic. Whoa, 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 you know. Now make it Baptist. You know, just get across that and go across them keys, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And it was going good. All of a sudden, he says, I tell you, God's power's in this place. Let's lift our hands and begin to praise the Lord. Boy, and people begin to praise the Lord pretty strong. Well, I'm looking and I see Kathy, my Kathy, who never says nothing, who's very quiet. She's like this. And I'm thinking, boy, that's a beautiful woman. I thank God that she got, her and mom got me into the kingdom of God. All of a sudden she goes, ah! I thought, somebody bit her. What happened? I looked at her, but her eyes are closed. And I know one thing about Kathy. When tears come out of her eyes, man, God's moving on her, you know. But it was such a blood-curdling scream. I went, da-da-da-dang! I hit the wrong call. Scared me. I heard people went, ooh! Like this. Even evangelist said, glory to God. I knew he was faking. He was trying to cover that fear right there because Kathy hollered. Nothing. She hollers. I thought, what is her problem? And I saw her going, oh, Jesus. She used to pray like this. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. But she's going, oh, Jesus, Jesus. Ah! She hollered again. I said, enough is enough here. So I'm going, just that thing, thing, thing. I am bang, bang. I'm trying to get her to watch me so I could say, control yourself, woman. But this is turning on this evangelist because he sees the power of God moving. He said, you want the power of God to touch you? Get out of your seats and come. Kathy gets out the seat, walking like this, crying. And I ain't never heard her sob that hard. I mean, she goes, I thought, and people, you know, when you're in a small church, they all know you. They go, what was happening? A fit of carnality was coming over me because she was embarrassing me. So I said, just that thing, 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 I took my foot off the soft pedal and he went, without one. Kathy comes up there. He lays hands up. Boom! She falls out in the Holy Ghost. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I stood up, looked over the piano. I'm playing like this. Da da da. Kathy. Kathy. Da da da. Kathy. Just a screaming. Kathy. Kathy. The man said, is that your wife? I almost said, I've never seen that woman before in my life. I don't know who she is. I was embarrassed. What do you say? I had a fit of carnality in one of the holiest acts of God. The Spirit of God spoke to me. I might have been a baby Christian, but he said, what are you doing? I said, my wife is laying on the floor. He said, maybe you ought to be laying on the floor. She's worshiping me. Leave her alone. Well, I sat down on the piano. Kathy kept hollering, ah! Ah! I said, maybe God's hurting her or something. She was so raptured in the Spirit of God. Well, we went home that night. I had repented. I said, Kathy. She says, this is so, she goes, was I loud? I said, you called every dog in the neighborhood for 6 miles. I said, you was hollering. She said, did I embarrass you? I said, oh, no, no, you didn't. And I said, I just lied. Yeah, you didn't. I said, can't you worship God a little more quieter? I said, you sound like that woman Iris. Remember that? I didn't like Iris. He always wanted to come sit by me. Because she'd sing like this. She said, God touch you. I used to think of the Zulus, you know. That's all she could ever say. It would aggravate me. I'd have a fit of carnality. I'm trying to worship God. Oh, Jesus, I have to get in between the whoop. So I asked, I said, Iris, is that all God ever tell you? She said, I didn't even know I'm doing that. I said, you're aggravating everybody in the church. I was very blunt. You can ask, I was very blunt, man. I was blunt. I said, you know, I can't worship God, man. I said, you're driving me nuts. She said, well, maybe if you got into God, you wouldn't hear it. I said, I'm sorry, Iris. I didn't mean to say that. I mean, and I looked at her husband. I said, look, I apologize. He said, she does that when she sleeps, man. That's the same thing to me. I'm trying to sleep. I don't know what I got over there. Whoop, 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 whoop. I said, you think God could give you another syllable? How about boop, 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 boop. Let's try some of that. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can we get a different syllable here? Why did that have to be whoop, 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 whoop? Why? That's God's business. Why? What are you saying? I'm saying all that to say this. When the anointing of God is moving under power, you could be sitting in that place having a fit or carnality because you have not submitted yourself, therefore, to God. You have not resisted the devil. You're assisting the devil. And if you continue to assist the devil, you can grieve the Holy Ghost right in the middle of a powerful service. Someone may not get saved. Someone may not get healed. And they wonder why, because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do because you've had a fit of carnality. Yeah. Are you hearing when I say it? Yeah. Let me say this in close. I realize this, that my body, and I want you to listen to this, never likes church. My body sits there and says, you have been sitting for 2 hours. Do you feel anything? I don't. We are numb here. Stretch your legs. It's 11:53. We're going to go eat lunch. It's 12:05. Oh, God. It's 12:12. Oh, Jesus. All of a sudden you think, La cucaracha. 12:15. Your body's saying there's no blood back here. Pray there's a healing service. You will need healing. Your body does not like church. You crucify it daily. You keep it under the blood and under the cross. If the weight of the cross will stay in your body, you'll always speak the word of faith. If the weight of the cross stays over your body, the word of faith will come out of your mouth and minister. But you can have a fit of carnality simply when you take that cross off that body and allow that body to begin to speak instead of your spirit. I'll say this and close my last closing. I said this at the, I wasn't going to say this, but the Lord just brought it to me. I guess it was a fit of carnality. I said at the West Coast Believers Convention, I'm a very disciplined man when it comes to this body. I eat certain things. Now, I like cholesterol. That's my favorite. I love fried food. Give me some fried food. I like everything fried. Fried eggs. We don't call it scrambled eggs. Call it fried eggs. Everything fried. Chicken fried steak. Whew. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. It's got white gray. It'll kill you. But you'll die with a smile on your face. That's just wonderful. It tastes so good, you know. So I eat fruits, grains, and vegetables. Every once in a while, I'll take a little bite of dessert. So I'm not a real big sugar person. So I love more of a crunchy food. I was at Brother Copeland's home not long ago, and he like me, we both like pretzels. I love pretzels. I like the way they sound when I crunch them. Come on. I like them sourdough kind that are real hard. Come on. You know, I just like pretzels. You know, they call to me. I like salty things. Well, but I eat mostly fruits, grains, and vegetables. I've had Jerry tell me, you mean tell me to come to this restaurant, you're going to eat fruits, you're going to eat vegetables. Look at this food, you know. And I really want, I may take a bite, but I'm going to stay with this vegetable plate. Well, I said there's a Believers Convention in West Coast, and God's making me say it again. I come home, I sit down, I got a real large television, large screen television, 70-inch Mitsubishi. high definition. That thing is huge. It's beautiful. When I watch Brother Colton preach, my God, he's standing in my living room. It's big, man. I just sometimes I walk up to the screen and go, hi, Ken. I mean, it's a big screen. It's nice. They do a close-up shot and Sister Gloria, Sister Gloria's face is all over my living room. I mean, it's a big screen. I like that. It's really pretty and nice. Well, I'm sitting there. And commercial time, come on. Now, I don't eat much sweets. All of a sudden, this Duncan Hines chocolate cake commercial comes on. So I look at it. You know how they take that frosting and they pull it with the fork? And it curls. And they touch the cake and go, moist. They don't say moist. Moist. So I look at that. And I begin to salivate, man. Man. Look at that cake. And they do those little circles on that cake. Poor, I'm going, man. I mean, this has got me, man. And all of a sudden, I look, Kathy's sitting in the corner going. And I look at her, she said, you want one of them cakes? I said, my body said, no, don't eat that. I said, yeah. Boom, she jumps up. Gets in that car, hers. Everybody gets out of the way. Miss Duplantis is coming down the boulevard, boy. Boom, she goes to the Winn-Dixie. She buys that chocolate cake and that chocolate icing. She comes back, man. She gets in that kitchen. My God. She puts all that stuff together. I'm smelling all that, man. Boy, she takes it out. It's hot. Boy, she flips it like that. Oh, it's hot. She puts all that chocolate stuff on there. And boy, it's starting to melt on it. She says, you want a piece? I said, give me the knife. I take the knife. I cut it in half. Fuck on. I give her a half, I take my half. I am not like, I go to the couch. I had a fit of carnality, man. I mean, and she said, you want some milk? I didn't wait for her to pour it in the glass. I said, give me the jaw. Give it to me. I grabbed the jaw. I'm talking, I don't do that. I drank out the jug. Oh, I got chocolate icing all over. I'm eating it. And I think, you hog, you hog. And I look at my wife and she's got her half. I mean, we stop eating. We got chocolate cake dripping off our chins. I said, Kathy, we've sinned. She said, yeah. Now, when your body's not used to sugar, I don't eat that stuff. Jerry called me. What are you doing? I went, how you doing, Jerry? How you doing, man? Hey, what are you doing? I just ate a half a cake. Man, that night I was in the bed. That sugar was kicking. I thought, and I looked at Kathy, and Kathy was going, yes. What? I said, I didn't say that. Okay. Then it hit us both at the same time. She went to one bathroom and I went to the other. And I'm going to stop the story right there because you don't need to know anymore. We had a fit. Carnell ate that cake. I rebuked that thing. I said, we don't want no more of that in our house. The other day, Kathy says, Jesse, you want chocolate cake? I could see it in her eyes. She done yielded. I went, yeah. But I could hear the word, submit, submit. I said, it's that woman thou givest me. That was a fit of carnality in itself. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Stop. Notice there's no sound words there. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please or cannot faith God. Now, let's see if this worked. If you're having problems with fits of carnality, a fit. Your wife may have got saved last night. You wanted to kill her this morning. If you're having problem with fits, get out of your seat and come up here. Open the aisles wide, boys, because they're going to be a bunch. Come on. Be honest. You don't need to line them up, boys. It's going to be more than you can line. Pack in here. Be honest. Let's just be honest. Come on, Kathy. You need to come. No, no. That's a joke. Come on. Pack them in here, boys. Pack them in here. Pack. Get as close as you can. Look at this. My Lord. Help us, Jesus. That's what I like about Believers Convention. You people are honest. Pack them, boys. Pack them. They're going to be from here to the end. I know it. These fits are causing death in your life. They're not bringing life or peace. Pack them. Pack them. Get closer, people. Just get closer. Get as close as you can. Pack them. Don't have a fit while you're packing. I want people to see this. I believe I preached the right message. Look at this. There's at least 5,000 people standing right now. The other 4 or 5 are lying. I'm going to tell you as you come in, pack, pack, close as you can. If you can't get to the front, stay in that line. Look at this. Now, if we send all these people to the back where Brother Ziegler is, he'd have a fit of carnality. My God. Look at this. What we all need to do, including me, is submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil instead of assist him, be led by the Spirit that constitute that we're the sons of God, to live in life and peace, by holding fast to the form of sound words in faith, in love, that good thing, it's a good thing, which was committed to you or to us by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in us. Now, if you can, any way possible, take someone's hand. Look at their people lined up, standing all the way up the balconies. Ladies and gentlemen, I honestly believe this. Maybe the reason why Jesus hadn't come yet, because the body of Christ have been having fits of carnality. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm preaching this Believers Convention, but when you see somebody outside holding a sign up saying something derogatory about Brother Copeland, that's a fit of carnality happening. So if you drive by and say, fit! When you write a book about someone to criticize somebody, that's a fit of carnality. It brings death. It doesn't help anyone. And I personally believe, now this is my opinion, you people watching by television, it delays the coming of Christ. Maybe you've had fits in your house. So why don't you stand up by your sofa? Take your husband's hand. Or them kids that you just had a fit over about 2 minutes ago. You love them. But the stress and pressure of Satan on the world causes great fits, and they should not be. All right, we still got people moving. Oh, my Lord, it must be 6,000 people standing there. Now, you that are sitting, stand to your feet. Now we have an honest. Now the truth has been spoken. Now you laughed about that, but the Lord told me to tell you to stand up. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to cause prayer to flow across this Tarrant County Convention Center. Now you may go outside this Tarrant County Convention Center and somebody parked behind your car and you can't get out. Don't have a fit of carnality. It may take you some time to get out. Don't have a fit of carnality. Bring life and peace by being led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to pray my prayer for you, but I want everyone now that can pray in tongues to begin to pray in tongues and pray for people. You may not know them, but just begin to pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind these fits of carnality. We command them in Jesus' name not to be a part of our lives. We are children of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. We are the sons of God. We are now submitting ourselves, therefore, to God. Lord, we will not live in the area of fits all the time. But Lord, because it's not pleasing to you, it's not pleasing to the people that we're having a fit about, or even ourselves. So Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get away from God's people. In the name of Jesus, I come against you by the power of Jesus' name, that from this day forward, we are going to be transformed. Instead of being conformed to the flesh, we're going to transform to the Spirit of God that's within us. We are going to hold fast to the form of sound words, which we've heard of God. We are going to walk in faith, in love. We are going to believe the word of God. Then, Lord, as we walk in faith and love, we'll receive the opportunities that are given to us in our lives. Father, I speak this in Jesus' name. Satan, did you hear it? I said, Jesus' name. Now, you devil, bow your head at the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to let transformation be taking place right now all over this building. Lord, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Father, maybe there have been hindrances in these fits that has caused people not to receive healings. Lord, we release these fits. And Lord, we receive our healing. We receive our salvation. We receive soundness, God, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. That this day we grow in the knowledge of the truth. And the truth says we are the sons of God. And we are led by that Spirit. And we'll not have these fits anymore. We will grow, Lord, grow. We will grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. In Jesus' name, I speak this right now. Every hand holding a hand, faith joined to faith. Everybody in one mind and one accord. Lord, right now we lift this faith prayer, Lord, up to the throne of God. And Lord, we ask you to breathe it and smell it into your nostrils, that it'll be pleasing to Jehovah, that it'll be pleasing to Jesus, that it'll be pleasing to the Holy Ghost. And God, we will be believers, Lord, believers that can walk in this life without having fits. No, Lord, but walking in this life, in the life and peace and love that you said we could do. We submit ourselves to you, Lord, this day, in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, do your work over us. Lift your hands right now. Reach up into the presence of the Holy Spirit as he moves over this congregation. And release these things out of your life. Let the angels of God wash them and throw them into the sea, never to be remembered against you. By the power of Jesus' name, I speak this miracle this day. Now everybody begin to praise the Lord. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Rosa balaba samanda ribikonda. Ronda rabakala bakuba baraba sanda. Bro rabakabayala cho rabakabaya chata. Renda lebekenda labakabareba ko rabasata. Ora setenda ya cho rabakabayala bochamana. Bende de che kamanda da yaso. Bishkende da broso bala krendo roso kayara. Risi lili bosa mandrala. In Jesus' name. Everybody begin to speak the name of Jesus. All across here, speak it over and over. Oh, Father, thank you. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Freedom today, Lord. Freedom to walk in the Spirit. Freedom to flow in the anointing. Freedom to know that we can in this life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now repeat this with me. I crucify my flesh. In Jesus' name. That I will no longer walk in the realm of the flesh. I will resist the devil. I will not assist him. I will submit myself. My spirit. My soul. My body. To the oracles of God. The word of life. Flowing through me. My words. My actions. Will be godly. From this day forward. When I see. A Christian. Having a fit. I will come. And say. You need not do that. We will worship God. We submit ourselves. To our Creator. Jesus, use us. Let not fits take place when we are around. If they do, we will stop them in the name of Jesus. I lift your hands up and thank the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap for what he's done. Glory. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a blessing.